could consider this the other shoe to drop from the financial fallout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. First things first, they've been telling us, government officials have put just about all their focus on treating the immediate shocks to the financial system. Now, finally, we're hearing about what they intend to do to keep it from happening again. When Timothy Geithner spoke on Capitol Hill earlier this week, he put forward the idea of more government authority to take over failing non-bank financial institutions like insurance companies. Today, the Treasury Secretary will be back before Congress, and this time he'll call for new regulations aimed at the sort of financial risk-taking at the root of the current crisis. Tamara Keith joins us now from our Washington Bureau. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how far do they plan to go with this? Who would be covered by these proposed regulations?
It's still not entirely clear, but likely candidates include large hedge funds, insurance companies, and money market mutual funds.
And the aim here is what? Do they want to stifle these kinds of investments, or do they want to just keep them under control?
I think it's more of a control situation, though I guess that depends on who you ask. There was a lot of risk-taking before. Credit default swaps, a ton of leveraging, maybe not enough capital on hand. Things weren't exactly regulated in a strong way. And the idea is to bring some of this risky behavior under a more watchful eye. There's talk of creating something called a systemic risk regulator to monitor the risks in the whole system.
And is this a surprise? What's the likely response to all this?
I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that after this huge financial meltdown that we've had, that there's now talk of more regulation. This is sort of the opening salvo in what is going to be a very long debate. Industry groups have already been putting together plans for sort of self-regulation proposals out there to try to stave off some of this. But it's going to be a long debate in Congress because Congress does have to approve this.
Tamara Keith in our Washington Bureau, thank you very much.
Thank you.
How often has this happened lately? European stocks are up again today, and if they stay that way, it would be their sixth straight session in positive territory. Asian markets were also on the rise today. Tokyo's Nikkei bounced 1.8% following Wall Street's exuberant rally yesterday. President Obama will hold a virtual press conference on the economy later this morning, with the questions coming from the public. Since Tuesday, the White House website has been soliciting questions, and visitors have been able to pose their own or vote on which questions that have already been posted are most important for the president to answer. Our D.C. Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports the number of votes cast so far is approaching 3 million.
Regular folks have submitted tens of thousands of questions about jobs, health care, and homeownership for a web chat with the president. In an online video, he says he realizes many people are worried about their financial future.
That's why we're going to try something a little different. We're going to take advantage of the internet to bring all of you to the White House to talk about the economy.
The most popular questions include, what will the government do to make higher education more affordable? Or can you drop the penalty for early withdrawals from 401ks? Political blogger David Dayan says this online forum gives the public new access to people in power.
I've seen things that are completely off limits to the traditional media, like the legalization of marijuana was very high on the list.
Experts say the White House could end up soliciting people who post to these web chats as lobbyists for administration proposals. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The bad news from Southern California isn't really unique, but that doesn't make it any less tragic. Officials here in Los Angeles County say homelessness has doubled since last year. Today, more than 74,000 people in the county have no place to call home. At the same time, there are only 12,000 shelter beds to go around. Enter a device called the EDAR, which stands for Everyone Deserves a Roof. By day, it's a heavy-duty shopping cart. By night, it converts to a tent that can sleep two people. Rob Schmitz takes a look.
The idea for EDAR came to Hollywood producer Peter Samuelson on a bike ride last year. He noticed there were more homeless people than usual, and one of them gave him a tour of her makeshift home.
There, behind the bushes, was a large cardboard box, and it had been raining, and it was wet. and it was smelly, and it was disgusting, and this was her home.
Samuelson sponsored a competition to invent an alternative, and the winner came up with the Edar. Selmia McGee zips open the canvas flap of her Edar unit and peeks outside. Last night, she slept on the floor of the chapel at an overcrowded homeless shelter on LA's Skid Row. The 7-foot-long tent is suspended inches off the cold ground by wheels. Its floor is a thin, firm mattress. Its ceiling, a beige, waterproof canvas, is 4 feet tall.
And it has, like, these little windows that you can open up, right? And as you can just feel, the mattress is just, it's really nice.
After you sleep in it, the Edar converts to a covered shopping cart where you can keep your belongings.
You just simply lift that up, and it clicks.
McGee, her husband, two children, and two grandchildren have all been homeless since November, when her husband lost his job as a trucker. For her daughter, 11-year-old Kiyomi, the Edar serves as a place to do homework, draw, and to escape from the routine at the shelter.
It's kind of like my own little room because I have my bed, and then I can put my stuff here, and then I have a window. It's like a room.
Outside the chapel, Edars line the hallways. The shelter has just ordered close to 50 more of them at $500 each. It's searching for donations to cover the expenses. Samuelson is currently in talks with one city in Southern California to use vacant land for an Edar encampment. He plans to give away 10,000 Edars by the end of this year. In Los Angeles, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Now, if you're having trouble imagining what that shelter on wheels looks like, we've got some photos and more information about the Edar on our website, marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.